You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenci. Welcome to the program to put some money where its fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Network. And the name of the network is the Fantasy Sports Network, right? So let's talk some fantasy sports. Ricky Sanders is going to join us. I believe for the first time on Game Time Decisions. We've exchanged tweets a lot over the years, but finally we nailed down Ricky to talk some NBA, DFS, a lot of intriguing players and a lot of high-scoring basketball games on tap this evening. So take a look at the NBA from a betting and a fantasy perspective. Mark Lord's going to join us. We're going to go bowling. Bowling for dollars with Mark Lord's. Yet I'm in an NFL mood today. And, you know, we're going to do a lot of college football. We did college football yesterday with Joe Lisi. We hit all five of Saturday's college bowl games. So we'll do a couple of bowl games with Mark Lord's. But we'll focus in on the National Football League with Mark Lawrence. And as I stated, I'm in an NFL frame of mind today. So why not? Let's kick it with one of the greatest of all time. I believe he's like, a seven-time champion? Seven-time, like, played in Super Bowl one and two, won them both. I think of five NFL championships, couple of Super Bowl rings. It's a travesty that he's not in the Hall of Fame. A man that's pretty much, the wide consensus known. The best player not in the Hall of Fame, Jerry Kramer. Jerry Kramer will join us on the program. I always love kicking it old school, man. Jerry played in the National Football League. He was with the Packers before Vince Lombardi was with the Packers. Like, he was there when Vince Lombardi was a rookie. Like, when Vince Lombardi was a rookie coach and took over the Packers, Jerry Kramer was already on the team. And he became very close with Coach Lombardi. And in fact, he's become the authoritative figure. He's written books about the relationship. He's released audio. You guys got to hear this audio, man. You know, like, Vince Lombardi once, like, told the team, like, they went in front of a brick wall, and he told the team, run through the wall. And they tried to. Like, not everybody. Some guys are like, no, you can't run through a wall. Other guys are getting hurt, bouncing off the wall and stuff like that. Interesting technique. Nowadays, you'd be in jail. Vince Lombardi's legend made by some of the players that we've had on the program in the last month. Paul Hornung, now Jerry Kramer. And I'll tell you what, the Green Bay Packers are red freaking hot right now. Real dangerous team. They might be the most dangerous team in football right now, but they've got to actually get there first. All right, so as I stated, I'm in a football frame of mind, and we got a football-related story to start off the program with. Of course, the bowl season is here, and I love the bowl season. Yet, as a degenerate gambler, I often warn people about these bowls. Be careful. You got motivating factors. You got scumbag coaches that leave the kids hanging and go to other programs, and I always warn people, if you're going to bet on a bowl game, bet the bowl game at the last possible second. Yeah, there might be a little bit of line movement, but the fact of the matter is nobody really knows what's going to happen in these bowl games anyways when teams have been off for as long as they've been off. Although these the early bowl games, they're a little bit more higher scoring because they've only been off for a couple of weeks actually. The teams that have been off for like a month and stuff, you never know what to expect. It's like an entire new season. In fact, I think they should be playing the college football playoffs like now. Like, why are we waiting? We know who the four teams are. What the hell are we waiting for? Let's do this thing. You can still play the other bowl games anyways, but I always warn people, wait before you bet the bowls. Why? Because also you got suspensions. The Minnesota Golden Gophers just suspended 10 kids, man. 10 kids. 10 players suspended before the Holiday Bowl. They're taking on Washington State. They're already screwed before that football game. Now, there's a long list of reasons why you want to wait to bet college football. And a lot of strange stuff happens at college football this time of the year. Look at Trayvon Boykin, man. He actually like punched a security guard bouncer at a bar and then took a swing at a cop like basically 2 days before the Alamo Bowl. Everybody said it was going to ruin his NFL career. He's doing pretty well right now as a backup with the Seattle Seahawks. So, you know, there's a moral to the story here, kids. If you punch a cop, don't worry, the NFL won't hold it against you. So, but I digress. digress. But anyways, you know, college football, as I mentioned, these scumbag coaches, they're Bolton, not Herman, dude. These guys are telling people to run through brick walls. They're preaching loyalty and all this other crap to the program. Well, these coaches will leave in a freaking heartbeat. The only loyalty these college football coaches have is to their accountants, all right, and to themselves. But with all the bizarro-ness that comes with the college football world, and I thought I've heard it all, we've got a real weird story out of Wake Forest right now. A real weird story. As the Wake Forest Demon Deacons were under the belief that they were being spied on, and they were under the belief that it was being done by opposing ACC coaches. Now listen, Wake Forest are already a challenge program to begin with. It's actually a real school, all right? We're not talking about Clemson here. We're not talking about Florida State, where they major in beer pong and smoking weed. You know, it's Florida State. What's Florida State's majors? Like bikini waxing? Eldon Campbell went to Clemson. Remember, a former basketball player. They said, Eldon, did you earn your degree at Clemson? He said, no, but they gave it to me anyways. So we have the Wake Forest Demon Deacons. They're already crappy as it is, right? Although they battled this year. So they were wondering, why is it that the other coaches always seem to know what we're going to do all the time? And specifically, a couple of weeks ago, if you remember, they were playing Louisville. They were up at the half, like 12-3 against Louisville. Louisville smoked them in the second half. Wake Forest were convinced at this point in time that Bobby Petrino had spied on them, pulled the Belichick, basically. And they basically accused Louisville and Bobby Petrino of spying on them. They found their game plan after in Louisville's room. Louisville left the evidence behind. So they basically accused Petrino. Petrino, of course, takes offense because anybody that cheated on his wife and crashed a motorcycle on taxpayers' expenses, would never, you know, of course he was offended. But, you know, so it turns out Tommy Elrod, radio announcer for Wake Forest, who's also a former assistant coach and player on the Demon Deacons, has been leaking information to opposing ACC coaches going back to 2014, allegedly. Although Wake Forest Demon Deacons University deans, they allege that they have evidence, that they have proof. They have text message documents, they have email documented, that they have actual physical evidence and proof that Tommy Elrod was actually aiding and abetting the enemy. Traitor! Traitor! Treason! You know, Wake Forest are in tough as it is, but, you know, for these kids right now, they're already overmatched when they're playing Clemson. They're already overmatched when they're playing Florida State. But these kids on Clemson and Florida State knew what was coming. Now, the mainstream media, sport media, this story is sort of buried under, you know, LeBron James, Phil Jackson, posse, and everything else. Because the sports media are a lot like the mainstream media. Gutless pukes, cowards. And they're also in partnership with college football. The last thing ESPN needs right now, the last thing anybody wants in the college football world right now is people asking Dabo Sweeney a question that I would ask if I was in the press conference. Coach Sweeney, did Elrod ever give you any inside information about Wake Forest's program? Hey, Coach Fisher, the fact of the matter is Lamar Jackson just won the Heisman. Where am I going with this? What was Elrod's motivation? Is he disgruntled? Does he have something against the program? The fact of the matter is, I bet and lost on Wake Forest football games. I want my money back, Elrod. I want my money back. And I'm sure there's a couple of other people that want a hell of a lot more from you right now than just money. You know, you're allowed into the room. You were a former assistant coach. You had all the inside information. Lamar Jackson's the Heisman Trophy winner. The game was tainted. There was inside information. How the hell do we know that every game that Wake Forest just played in since 2014, was it manipulated? I want to know. And Bobby Petrino takes offense to being accused, but did you accept the information in the end? Did you accept it? What about Sweeney? Have you ever been in contact with Elrod before? What about you, Fisher? The fact of the matter is, everything that's happened in the ACC involving a Wake Forest game has been freaking tainted right now. You can argue that Louisville, Florida State, and the Clemsons of the world, they're going to beat Wake Forest anyways, but that's besides the point. But, you know, the mainstream media, it's a hell of a lot easier to pick on 10 kids that got suspended at Minnesota and give you that low dangling, shiny object, low hanging fruit than it is to peel back the layers on what is a really, really freaking ugly story. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. Game Time Decisions on Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. All right, you like football? We've got football. We're going to talk football with Mark Lawrence, playbook.com. We're going to talk football with the best player that's not in the Hall of Fame. I don't know why he's not in the Hall of Fame. Probably because the media are a bunch of stupid jackasses. That's why. But Jerry Kramer will join us, man. Guy played 11 years. He was part of the Packers sweep. And when you say the Packers sweep, the most effective running play ever known to mankind in a play the team still runs sometimes, but not enough in today's day and age. Busy night in the NBA tonight. There's a plethora of high-scoring games and fantasy options, betting options. Ricky Sanders will join us. Ricky Sanders will talk some DFS with Ricky. But without further ado, let's bring in Mark Lawrence right now, playbook.com. And Mark, I'm sure that this Wake Forest story caught your attention like I did mine. Most mainstream people don't really care about it. They sort of see, oh, that's a strange story, and they move on. But if you actually stop and look at and see what's going on here, to me, there's a lot of unanswered questions that I want answered, Mark.
I agree with you, Gabe. It's like horse racing. When you're handicapping or betting horse races, you want to know that the races that you're betting aren't fixed or there's no cheating going on. You just want an even playing field. And with a story like this, I think it's going to send out a lot of alarms. And you look at, I'm looking up and down at Wake Forest and what they've done here going back since Jim Grobe took over the football program. They were a team that always got out to a pretty decent start, but then faded like a bad racehorse. And you have to wonder if maybe some of this fade didn't come from this information that was being passed down by this jerk.
And you know what, Mark? You know, we knew. I talked about it off top of the program. You know, Wake Forest are a talent challenge program. You actually have to go to school if you go to Wake Forest. So they're a talent challenge program already in tough. And I was thinking about it too. Like, how many times did I take Wake Forest plus 23 and I lost by 27 and they're battling? And we never had a hope in hell because the other coaches knew what was coming. Like, it makes me irate. And like I said, on a more serious note, Mark, it taints the ACC as a whole right now. It really does. Clemson are in the playoffs right now. Lamar Jackson just won the Heisman, and it's pretty much proven that Petrino had inside information. Like, Petrino's lucky that he's not being called out now. If I was a reporter, and they're all gutless cowards, but if I was a reporter out there, I'd be asking Jimbo Fisher, Dabo Sweeney, and every other coach in the ACC, did you guys ever get information too?
Yeah, there should be an investigation, and it should come from the top of the ACC, if not the NCAA. And answers need to be delivered here. This is an ugly situation that I feel is going to have a lot of collateral damage, especially if they don't try and sweep it under the rug.
And I imagine that Elrod probably is going to get a knock on the door from the FBI any hour now, Mark. Like, because like you said, this is dangerous. And you know what I don't like about this? I'd like to see sports wagering legalized. But this is the type of crap that the John McCains of the world say, oh, you see, it's all corrupt.
Well, it wouldn't be corrupt if sports gambling were legalized. I mean, any tip of the hat of any wrongdoings going on, you know, it would be the sports gambling sports books, the people behind that, the state of Nevada, the very different lawmakers, they would be the ones that would be alerted to all this.
That's a good point. The Nevada Attorney General, he'd be more interested in this than anyone else because they've taken action on this. That's a good point, but there hasn't. That's one thing, Mark. And you know, this story is so new, but I like to speak to some guys in Vegas because, from what I know, although we never know everything, but have there been abnormalities around Wake Forest? I don't know. We don't know, Mark. What was his motive? Was it that he didn't not like the university because he didn't get rehired as an assistant coach? Was he leaking information to somebody else besides the other coaches? Was he betting on the games? Was somebody else close to him betting on the games? There's a lot of questions here.
There are a lot of questions and a lot of answers that need to be delivered. And like you say, what were the motives? Did he go off like a fired employee that would go in with a handgun and it back into the amongst his fellow workers and take it out on them? No, he didn't do that. But he certainly got back at Wake Forest in another way, and it was a way that was silent, in a sense, silent until obviously the roof blew off here with Petrino coming forth with Louisville in this situation.
Like I said, they'll want this to go away. When we'll find out the truth in 17 years on an ESPN 30 for 30. sort of like the SMU thing, Dick, down the road. And I don't know, my own personal opinion, I don't think there's a malicious gambling intent behind here. I think it's more of a disgruntled employee, grudge against the program, grudge against the university for one reason or another. Because I think if there was abnormalities pertaining to the gambling around Wake Forest, that the story would have broken before over the last 3 years, Mark, right?
Well, you certainly hope so, Gabe. You hope that it's all it is, and there's nothing really deeper or uglier than the situation. But, you know, when stuff like this hits the fan, all of a sudden the eyebrows raise and the questions begin to be bandied about. So you want to find out as quickly as you possibly can what's behind the motive of this.
It doesn't matter because we don't get our Wake Forest money back. So, that's the thing. We got screwed over in this. Like, you know, the bettors are the victims in this.
You know, right. unless Gabe, you were fading Wake Forest.
Yeah, which any smart man probably should have been. So,
yes, he should have, yes.
All right, so time's flying by, Mark. We've only got about 5-6 minutes here. Rams and Seahawks. I saw the playbook, and, you know, I'm cut from your jib. You've had an influence on me on how I cap games, Mark. And generally, you know, I'd be like, I'll pass. I'm not laying this type of pointage, but the way Seattle played with Russell Wilson with all the interceptions, the Rams are a mess. This seems like a real beatdown for the Seahawks.
It does. It looks like you'd want Seattle at home off a loss just about against anybody, especially a team as inept right now as the Rams, and then the whole situation with Jeff Fisher just only complicates the matter, adds to the situation. But, you know, like you say, it's not in my DNA to go out and lay two touchdowns plus in a football game, but it's certainly an underdog in the Rams that I would not want to touch.
All right. Mark Lawrence has his newsletter, playbook.com. It's available on your mobile devices as well. But he's also one of the covers experts. And, Mark, you post in a free play for people Thursday night. Rams and Seahawks. Rams have played 7 straight unders in division games. You like the under?
I do. This looks like a defensive match. First of all, you wonder, what's the over-under on the Rams? Probably 9 points. You know, are they going to get their 9 points in the football game? I don't think they'll crack 10 in the contest against an angry Seattle defense. And you've got Seattle coming home off a loss. I think they've played chess matches before in this series here. The Rams have gone under 7 straight division games in a row. It just smells of an under. The odds makers know it, too. This total is short, 38 points, but it's there for a reason.
You know, the Rams have actually beaten them, like, what, 3 straight times, too, right? So,
yep, they've felt confident in doing that in the past, but their leader, the guy who was with them behind it doing it before in the past, is gone now, obviously, Jeff Fisher.
Yeah.
So the question is, what happens? What's their state of mind going into this game on Sunday?
Yeah, I'm thinking, yeah, I wouldn't surprise it was like, you know, 28-3, 31-3. I think it's going to be a real snoozer. The Thursday night, or Richard Sherman even says, you know, these games on Thursday suck. I heard the NFL's considering stopping them. The Sunday nighter, though, Mark, is not going to suck. And this one's interesting to me because the Bucs have won and covered 5 weeks in a row. The Dallas Cowboys, they only lost 1 of their last 3, but 3 straight weeks of the non-cover. We have the Romo situation. You know, the circus music is starting in the background right now with Jerry Jones and the Cowboys. Yet it almost seems too easy. Like, oh, getting 7 points with the Buccaneers. I feel like I'm walking into, like, it's like a horror movie, and I'm going into the garage in the dark, and Jason's waiting for me because the Cowboys are going to be pissed, and Dak Prescott could be playing for his job right now.
He could be. There's a lot of ugliness going on in Dallas right now, whether or not to bring Tony Romo back, and Jerry Jones just perpetuates the situation. But you got that ugly stat about Tampa. 114-1 to the spread away the final 4 games of the season against an opponent that's off back-to-back point spread losses. That's the role that they'll be in here against Dallas. Truth be told here, Gabe, I'm pissed. I'm mad because they took away the Pittsburgh-Cincinnati Sunday night football game, and they flexed it to this. They flexed it to Dallas because Dallas draws ratings, and I wanted to see Vontaze Burfict in his first game back against the Pittsburgh Steelers in that headhunting war they had last year. We would have seen that Sunday night, but the NFL opted for Jerry Jones and the Cowboys instead.
Yeah, it's funny because Dak Prescott, it was the first time he started acting boastful. He's been very humble when he said, oh, we got flexed because we're America's team and everybody wants to watch us play, and then they go out and lose on Sunday after he says that. Yeah, we might be watching the Cowboys play in two Mondays against the Detroit Lions, actually, the day after Christmas, but it might be Romo playing at that point in time. But what do you make about this? I know, Mark, you're a lot of bad numbers against the Bucs, but I'm falling into the trap, man. The Bucs defense is just playing so well right now. 10 points against the Bears. They held the Seahawks to 5, Saints to 11, Kansas City to 17. Hell, they held the Seahawks to 3. There was a safety there. But that's been an unheralded story about the Buccaneers, their defensive play.
It's been terrific, Gabe. In fact, at the Westgate Superbook contest in August when I was out there, I talked about the Tampa Bay Bucs and them being a potential surprise team this year, and it was because last year this team won only 4 games, but they still finished in the top 10 offensively and defensively. Statistically, they put really, really solid numbers up, but just didn't do it on the scoreboard. They're coming back and performing that way well this year. I just don't like their situation this week, and I'm going to tell you how good Tampa's been this year. Last week when they covered the spread, that was the first time in my database going back to 1980 that a team had won straight up and as an underdog 4 straight games in a row, then changed roles, went to the favorite. It had happened 7 times. All 7 teams had lost the money, 6 of them straight up. Tampa Bay defied the odds. This team might be for real.
Wow. Yeah, that's something. All right, Mark, we've only got a minute left, unfortunately, already. Battle of 9-4 teams, the Lions and the Giants. Some people question how good either of these two teams are. I generally think, if you ask me who the better football team is between the two of them, I'm going to say the Detroit Lions, and I'm getting 4.5 points here. I like the Lions.
I do, too. 4.5 points with, like you say, two teams that look almost equally the same mirror-wise going into the football contest here. It surprises me that Detroit would be the top seed, the number 2 seed next to Dallas if the playoffs began here right now. That's how good of a season they've had. But I think what works here is the Giants beating Dallas. They always have letdowns in games after the Cowboys, and I think it'll be an effect here in this game on Sunday.
Yeah, courtesy of Mark Lawrence's database in the playbook, Giants 0-6 against the spread last 6 games after playing the Dallas Cowboys. And another interesting tidbit from the playbook. Remember last year, guys, the Lions were torrid. They went 7-1 in their last 8 football games. Jim Caldwell, 13-3, his last 16 Final Four football games. I like the makeup of this Detroit team. I'm taking the points.
Yeah, Matthew Stafford really has a huge edge over Eli Manning going into this contest. He's playing well. Eli is not. I think that's the big edge in the football game, and he's the dog. You have to grab the points here.
All right, so for Mark Lawrence's complete bowl previews and picks, pick up the playbook, people. It's very, very affordable. You're going to be much smarter for it. NFL picks, NBA picks, college. Mark's got it all season long. Now this bowl season, a database is a great thing to have at your disposal. Thanks for the time, Mark.
And my pleasure, Gabe. That college bowl stat report will be out on Thursday. I'll make sure I get you a copy.
Excellent. We encourage people, go to playbook.com. Check it out. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We've got Jerry Kramer joining us next. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. Thanks to Mark Lawrence for joining us and talking some football. One team that we did not talk about was the Green Bay Packers, who might be the most dangerous team in football right now. They're like a wounded animal in a corner. Aaron Rodgers said, we're going to run the table, and we're going to make the playoffs. There's no room for error, though, for the Green Bay Packers right now. But it's our honor, man. Really, I think we're really lucky to be able to talk to a man. Played 11 years with the Packers, was a key ingredient in what was known as the Packers sweep, now that we know as the sweep, the running play, the most efficient running play in football history. 5-time NFL champion, 2-time Super Bowl champion, the one and only Jerry Kramer. Oh yeah, we should mention best-selling author as well. Mr. Kramer, welcome to the Fantasy Sports Network. Thank you for joining us, sir. How you doing?
I'm doing great, David. Thank you for having me on. Pleasure to be with you.
No, it's our honor to have you on. So much I want to ask you. But first things first, I mean, you played in Super Bowl I. Like, you know, just how cool is that? Like, playing in any Super Bowl. But playing in Super Bowl I, did you have any idea of playing in Super Bowl I? Like, when you watch the Super Bowl now, it's just, it's amazing, like, what a spectacle it is now compared to year one, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is, Dave. There really wasn't much information available to us about the AFL. So we watched a few films, but this was like our fourth championship, our fifth championship game, and our fourth championship. So we weren't really pumped and nervous and excited, but we were conscious of our history and our the ability just to get the job done, to go out there and play a good, solid football game. But it took us a while to really appreciate the Kansas City Chiefs. We'd been watching the films one night and one afternoon, and McGee noticed two of the safeties on a pass play that ran into each other and knocked each other down. And Max goes, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. So he's doing Looney Tunes, so we're all giggling. But as soon as we run into EJ and some of those other ball players, we quit giggling and got serious.
So, you know, it's funny because when you guys, so did you think, were you thinking, Jared, these AFL guys, we're going to smoke them. It's almost like, you know, Alabama playing your Idaho Vandals or something, right? Like, like we're going to overmatch these guys. But yeah, I'm sorry, Jared, I had to go there. But Vince Lombardi, Vince was nervous about the game, wasn't he? Because there was almost like there was nothing to gain. If you guys won, it was like, wow, you were supposed to beat the AFL team. And if you didn't, then it was like, how could you guys lose to the AFL team? I saw an interview with Frank Gifford. He said Vince was shaking before the game.
Exactly, David. He did have a lot of pressure from the Hallises, the Maras, the Rooneys, the old line guard in the NFL, not only to beat the Kansas City Chiefs, but to beat them badly, to embarrass them if he could. So he had a lot of pressure on him. He increased our fines in Super Bowl I from $500 to $5,000. So that was an indication, I think, of the pressure on him. But we really didn't think it was going to be that tough a game. But we just wanted to make sure we didn't embarrass ourselves. We did a good, solid job. We played a good, solid football game and took care of business the way we were supposed to.
Now, we had one of your former teammates on recently, Mr. Paul Hornung. So I got to ask you, how much money between you and Paul did you donate to the Packers fund with all the fines over the years?
Well, I put a few bucks in for the parties. We had a team party or gave it to a charity there in town, and I donated on a number of occasions. And the worst part about one of the occasions, Coach Collis eating pizza at 12 o'clock or something like that after hours, and he made us play leapfrog around the double practice field. There were about five or six of us, and Fuzzy was kind of short-legged and had a short crotch, so he'd leap over your back and hit you in the back of the head or the neck and knock you down. But we did that all around the, it must have been, you know, 400, 500, 600 yards of leapfrog. And there were several thousand people in the stands watching practice. What is that? You got a new drill? What are you guys doing?
So he was creative in punishing you guys, right? So
yes, he wanted to embarrass us a little bit, too, not only punish us. So he was a very unique, very special human being.
Now, you've become to be known, of course, you've written about it, you've become to be known to one of the authoritative figures, and I always eat up all the stories of Jerry, but I want to get one of them right and ask you about Lombardi. Like, is it true? So he's in the room, and he goes, you know what, you guys stay out again, $100. You do it again, it's $500. You do it again, it's $1,000. And you do it, and you mentioned $5,000. And he goes, and if you're willing to get fined $5,000, I want you to take me to this party, because I'm must be the best damn party ever. Is that the true story?
The numbers are a little bit off, but it was in a practice period in early camp, and McGee had snuck out, and he fined him for $100, and he said, if you go again, it's $500, And if you go again, it's $1,000. And if you can find something worth sneaking out for $1,000, call me and I'll go with you. that's the way I remember it. And of course, Max, under his breath, said, "Hell, I called you, Coach, but you weren't in your room."
great stories as we're in conversation with Green Bay Packer, great Jerry Kramer. So you were there when Coach Lombardi showed up. You guys were 1-10-1 the year before. What was your initial impression, thinking, "Oh God, like this guy's a little bit different"? Things are changed around here. What was your initial impression of Coach Lombardi?
You know, I just didn't believe that he could be that ferocious. He talked about, if you're not willing to sacrifice, to pay the price, to do the things you have to do to win, if you're not willing to put the team first, then get the hell out. And it was really quiet, and we looked at one another and went, "Oh, well, you know, we can't be that bad. I mean, what the hell?" He also said something about working harder than we'd ever worked in our lives. And then, you know, well, yeah, right, he can't be that bad. But he put us through drills that first year or two that guys were vomiting, they were losing consciousness, they were passing out on the field, they were passing out in chow line an hour and a half after they left practice and had their shower, they're standing in chow line, and they would lose consciousness. I had a scout from St. Louis standing on the sidelines by the tower when I came out of a scrimmage, and he said, "Jerry, I've been in the game 25 years and I have never seen anything like this. If we did this in St. Louis, half of the guys would quit, the other half would be dead."
So, and nowadays, Coach,
so that was about the way he handled us the first couple of years.
Nowadays, Coach, you'd be arrested, right? You know, we see it's a different world we live in right now with the practice rules. I want to talk to you about the sweep, because it drives me crazy, Coach, when I see teams inside the 5-yard line, I see teams throwing the ball on 3rd-and-1 or on 3rd-and-2 nowadays, and they say, "Well, it's an obvious passing situation." And I'm thinking, you know, I'm from the Bo Schembechler school of thought, Jerry, as well, in which, you know, there's 3 things that can happen when you throw the ball. 2 of them are bad,
yeah.
Right? Two of them are bad.
Yes.
You know, let's run a sweep play. It's not rock. Football is not rocket science. And especially with today's athletes, you run a sweep with the monsters on the line and these fast backs, you can't miss, Jerry.
That sweep is a very intricate play, David. It takes about 5 or 6 blocks that have to be made perfectly before the 2 guards get around the corner and it starts looking good. Onside block by the center, the block by the tackle, offense onside tackle who has to set up the defensive end and go for the middle linebacker, the back, onside back onto the defensive end. And the following cutoff by the off guard and off, or the off tackle, excuse me, the guards going upfield with me. But, you know, we averaged 8.3 yards per carry on that play the first 3 years. But talking about your passes, you know how many 1-yard passes Bart Starr threw in his history of 17 years with Green Bay? He threw 1. You know how many 2-yard passes he threw in 17 years? 1. So we had a tremendous running game, and we had great backs. Horning was probably the smartest runner I've ever seen anywhere. Didn't have the blinding speed, but he was just brilliant at setting up the guards for the block on the corners. So we just had a wonderful running game, and we believed, like you do, that when you pass the ball, 2 things can go wrong.
I saw the Dallas Cowboys the other night, and they've got a great offensive line, Jerry. I saw the Cowboys run the sweep, and Collinsworth talked about it and actually brought you guys up and the thing of beauty that it was. But it takes that team effort over the years. I mean, the Denver Broncos have had some success with it. Who's been a coach or a team that you've watched that you said, "That's how you run a sweep play"?
You know, I saw that left tackle for Dallas pull on a end around. It wasn't exactly our sweep, but it was similar to it. A big kid, good speed, good feet.
Yeah, I think it was Tony Free. The big kid Free, yeah. I think it was, yeah.
Yeah, and the cornerback comes up and he knocks him down and stops. he could have knocked him down and turned the corner and knocked two or three more people down. He kept his feet, and he did everything right, except stop after he made one block. It was always my goal to make two or three or four blocks on a sweep. And if you've got a small guy like that, he's, if he doesn't go down to your knees, then he's going to try to back up, and you can just run over him and go on to the next guy or the next guy. So if I had to visit with that young man for a while, I'd say, do something spectacular. You can really be something special, but don't quit after one block. That's just a start.
I like where you're going with that, Jerry. So time's flying by, sir. Before we let you go, a couple of things I want to ask you. How close are you with the Packers? And now, what do you think of this Packer team? Aaron Rodgers seems to have a chip on his shoulder. You know, there was a lot of talk about Coach McCarthy and, oh, Aaron's not a leader. Yet he's leading by example, and he's carrying this team on his shoulders right now, isn't he?
No question about it. And they're playing, you know, David, I think they were a little flat. There wasn't much emotion out there. We always played with great emotion when we're all pumped up for the game and we're excited and we're busting our pants and really playing with emotion. Now, this last week against Seattle, the Packers played with a lot of emotion. And, of course, Aaron was razor sharp. But there wasn't any question in my mind. I didn't worry about Coach McCarthy. Coach McCarthy has had seven playoff seasons in a row. Did he suddenly get hit with a stupid stick where he became ignorant all of a sudden? Aaron is one of the greatest quarterbacks ever. Did he suddenly become incompetent? No, we had a few glitches. We lost our running back. We had some new people in the game. We had some things we had to do. But last week, I believe, will give them an impetus, a push, a drive to get them on down the road. I think they have a much better chance of running the table now than they did before that game.
Well, finally, in closing, and speaking of ignorant, you are generally known as the best football player that's not in Canton. Does it personally bother you, and do you get your hopes up still? Because, you know, I was talking with someone, they said, you know, this might actually be it. I think, you know, he is going to get the call one of these days. Does it bother you?
You know, I'd be lying if it said it didn't. It's the greatest honor a football player can have. But I have come to an accommodation with the situation. The game has been so good to me, David. I've had so many honors. I've been All-Pro. I've been all 50-year team. I'm All-Decade teams. They have just given me so many wonderful honors. It's like applause over and over and over again. And they're still wonderful to me when I go to Wisconsin. I go and sign autographs, do speaking engagements and that sort of thing, and I just have a wonderful time there. So for me to get upset and angry and disappointed over one honor I didn't get when I've got 100 seems kind of stupid. I love that word, I guess. But it seems kind of stupid to me to let one honor you didn't get destroy your attitude. So I have refused to be bitter about it, and I'm comfortable with my place in football. I'm comfortable with what my team did, and I talk about a great group of guys and a great team. I think that team was what the best team I have ever seen in terms of working with one another and helping with one another and caring for one another. So I'm pretty pleased. If I came out of Sandpoint, Idaho, that metropolis in northern Idaho that was about 3,000 people at the time. If I couldn't have dreamed the career I ended up with and the association and the books and the whole thing, David. So it's been a wonderful ride for me. And if it happens that I'm elected to the Hall of Fame, that would be wonderful. If it doesn't happen, it's been a wonderful ride.
Well, it's a great positive attitude to have, and I think a very wise attitude, and that's why you're such a class act and the winner that you are, sir. Jerry Kramer, it's always an honor catching up with you. Thanks a lot for taking the time to be with us on the Fantasy Sports Network, sir.
Great to be with you. My pleasure.
Jerry Kramer with us, everybody. Great stuff. Man, what a nice guy. We could have went on and on and on, but we got some DFS for you. Let's go. Let's do it. Game time decision continues. All right, that was awesome with Jerry Kramer, but I promise we're going to talk some DFS basketball. I got a ton of basketball picks for you guys tonight, as well as bring in one of the best in the business. We often exchange tweets, but it's the first time he's been on Game Time Decisions. We're excited to have Ricky Sanders step up and in. What's going on, Ricky? How you doing, man?
Yeah, it's good to finally talk to you after all the interaction we've had. A big fan of the show and a big fan of controversial things you have to say. So let's get at it.
I appreciate that, Ricky. Nothing too controversial, but I'm a fan of your fantasy work as well. So you know what, man? I'm looking at tonight's NBA card, and there's a lot of potential high-scoring games on the board. There's a lot of superstar fantasy players on the board, but they're not all in great spots. I know Westbrook's sort of an automatic, but it's a back-to-back taking on the Utah Jazz tonight. Harden's been money, but it cost a lot of money to take Harden tonight, so I sort of had a few guys circled in each game that I thought was worth a look. But let's quickly start off with a big TV game tonight. The Celtics and the Spurs on the board. And I know it seems kind of simple, but Kawhi Leonard for the price, $8,100. These guys just played on November the 25th, and he went off for 25 and 10. We saw the starters play together the other night. They put up 130. Starters have only played for 11 times together this year. I know it's kind of obvious, Ricky. It's not a hipster pick, but what do you think about Kawhi tonight?
Yeah, I think Kawhi's probably the safest pick from this game just because he's the one that Pop seems to be comfortable with, running out there for big minutes on a nightly basis. I mean, you look back to last year, there was a long stretch where him and Aldridge were the only two guys playing over 30 minutes, and that seems to be the case yet again. Pau's kind of been flirting with it, recently, averaged 36.9 DraftKings fantasy points a game against Horford last year, but I really just don't feel comfortable with minutes with Popovich all the time outside of tournaments, other than Kawhi Leonard, who's as effective as he's ever been. I mean, 1.23 fantasy points per minute this year is a career best. So I think Leonard is the safe pick from this game. You could, pivot to Aldridge, but besides that, it's the usual Spurs guessing game with the rest of the minutes.
As far as the Raptors and the Sixers are concerned, obviously DeMar's been on fire this year, but Kyle Lowry has been killing it over the last 2-3 weeks or so, specifically from beyond the arc. What I like about Kyle tonight is the fact that he's from Philadelphia as well. We're talking about a Nova kid. We're talking about a kid that he likes to put on a show when he goes back there. But when I look at this game, I was almost hoping that Sergio Rodriguez is going to be out again because we can get TJ McConnell at $4,100. But I got to tell you, man, I got Sergio Rodriguez on a season-long team. Guy's kind of a dark horse that puts up pretty big numbers for a cheap price. And another guy that caught my eye tonight was Damari Carroll at $4,600, man. Guy's putting up basically like 25 DK points a game for $4,600. It's not a bad price.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of narratives as it is, but I think the best narrative for Kyle Lowry tonight is the fact that he's third in the league in minutes and playing against a bad 76ers defense. So when you combine those two things, Philadelphia 25th in defensive efficiency to shooting guards and dead last to point guards. So both those guys, Lowry and DeRozan, in good spots tonight. I think you got to like them. And then on the other side, I mean, you mentioned Sergio Rodriguez. I think he's kind of a dark horse to finish, top 10 in the NBA in assists this year because he loves playing with Joel and needs minutes and, are going to go up as it goes on. He's going to stop sitting out games. And he has a 42.7% assist rate with Embiid on the floor, 35 without him. So that's obviously a big uptick. Another guy who loves playing with him is Gerald Henderson, who gets more open looks and people are focusing on him. With the defense. So Sergio Rodriguez is a good mid-tier value. I'm not sure you need him tonight because I'm sure we'll get to it. There are so many values with Cousins out, with all the Cavs guys out. But yeah. Sergio Rodriguez makes a ton of sense. And, he loves playing with Embiid.
Yeah, yeah, I got to be honest with you. I made all my notes for tonight before I knew the big three were going to be out. And then after, I'm like, damn, well, maybe this Liggins dude or Shumpert or James. So what do we do with that? What do we do with this game tonight? Out of all these Cavs guys, so the big three are out. LeBron, Love, Irving are out. More minutes for Shumpert, Tristan Thompson, Liggins, James. What do you like tonight on Cleveland?
I like most of it. I mean, I think some people get stuck in, Kyrie's out, so I got to play one guy there. LeBron's out, I got to play one guy there. Kevin Love's out, so I got to play Tristan Thompson. I think you can play up to four Cavaliers, maybe even five in cash games, because there's just so much of the offense missing. I mean, it's kind of like you can relate it to Jenga, where with the full team, you know, we've got the full stack of chips. And then when you start pulling some, you know, there are logs that have to do more work, and everyone's have to do more work tonight. I mean, Shumpert stands out as a value. J.R. Smith, the guy who was firing last night. Tristan Thompson's going to have more rebounds. I think Liggins is going to play big minutes. I think Channing Frye's going to come off the bench and have more usage than usual. So I think, those four that I mentioned initially, Tristan, Shumpert, Liggins, Smith, you can use them everywhere. And then it's kind of a weird situation where you have all this money to spend, but nowhere to spend it. You mentioned Harden and Westbrook kind of in bad situations. So I'm not really used to that situation where you have excess money, whether it be in fantasy or reality, and nowhere to spend it. But it's one of those situations where you can kind of pick and choose besides that who you want to spend, because they're going to have to, you know, basically have all the production through those four guys.
Yeah, that's why, you know, we only got 45 seconds, but you're right. That's why Kawhi caught my eye and Kyle in the 8-dime range as opposed to spending the 11 and 12 type of stuff. Harden's obviously points, but we only got 30 seconds. But a guy that caught my eye in this game was Eric Gordon, man. This guy's hit 23 of his last 33 three-point shots, man.
Yeah. With the Cavs size out, I mean, it's a perfect situation. They're playing a slower brand of basketball, but they're still not good on defense, especially against shooting guards. So I think, you know, Harden's going to play his minutes. He'll probably still get his. But if it turns into, you know, a blowout, I think they'll sit him more than usual, and guys like Beverly, Gordon, Anderson, they'll get their chance to you know, fire more than usual. So I like all those guys tonight. Definitely without Cousins, without Gay, they're going to be able to play their pace. Let's put it that way. You know, where I was worried they might slow it down, now it's going to be fast-paced, especially at home. So I love that Houston team. I think they put up, you know, over 110 points tonight.
Yeah, and there's value with some Kings as well, because there's already going to be some points put up on the board. All right, you can follow Ricky. He's a fantasy draft, but to R. Sanders DFS at Twitter. Great stuff, Ricky. We'll definitely do it again. Thanks for the time, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back with our plays of the day. All right, start for our plays of the day. It's kind of a weird night in the National Basketball Association this evening. A lot of players are sitting. There's a lot of injuries. There's a lot of back-to-backs. Speaking of back-to-backs, Philadelphia 76ers have actually won two straight games. They're not winning three straight. The Raptors have been money. Raptors in the over have been one of the best bets in the association. So at worst, we get a split here, but we're taking the Raptors. We're going to go over the number. We're going to go with the Lakers and the Nets over the number. The Lakers don't play defense. The Lakers are bombing threes. The Nets suck, but they actually play the quickest pace of basketball in the NBA. They don't have enough talent, so they just want to run and gun it. Let's go over the number 229.5. Kings and Rockets. Cousins is out, a little bit concerned with this, but the Rockets are going to put up a ton of points. Let's go over the number. Spurs cover the 7.5 against the Celtics. Grand Canyon University, the Antelopes, plus 17. Here's a stock tip too. Invest in Grand Canyon University. I told people when it was like $28, now it's $47. Only a university in America that's publicly traded. Invest in Grand Canyon University. Invest in them, plus 17 tonight against Arizona. Pittsburgh Penguins are red hot, 6 in a row. They've scored 35 goals. I know Boston beat Montreal. They always get up for Montreal. I like the Penguins. And we're going to ride the red hot Flames. Other than that, you're on your own. May the winners be yours.